This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 251 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 12, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. Marcus, my main West Coast man, what's up?
Hey, not a lot. A lot of news today that we're going to be covering. No guest for this show, and a lot to talk about, so I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So last week, we spent some time going over some iTunes reviews from four different continents, and apparently some of our listeners received a call. They heard us and actually wrote some new reviews for us on iTunes. So why don't you go ahead and inform our audience who they're from.
Okay. Well, the first one is titled "I Dig It" by Ghost1010, G-O-S-T. Could be Ghost. I don't know. Longtime WordPress developer, brand new to listening to WordPress podcasts. So far, so good, guys. Keep it up. 5 stars. Thank you. The next one is from Tara from Design TLC. I know her. And the title of this one is "The Best Way to Keep Up with WordPress News and Learn New Things." I listen to several WordPress podcasts, and this is a must every week. I never miss an episode. It is honest and informative. Jeff and Marcus do a great job of sharing the latest news and plugins, as well as general topics related to WordPress. This show is what the WordPress community is all about. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. It's great to hear.
Yes. And finally, this last one is titled Episode 250, which we just surpassed last week. Jeff, it's from J.W. Parkey, who we assume is whom, Jeff?
John Parkinson, volunteer for WordPress.tv, does a lot of cool video stuff for them.
All right. His review is, "Jeff and Marcus, just keep raising the bar. Thanks for all of your hard work, and congratulations on episode 250. When I grow up, I want to be just like you guys."
Well,
I don't recommend taking that career path.
You know, I'm right there with you, Marcus.
Yeah, it doesn't lead to anywhere.
Yeah, but if that is you, John, thanks a lot for your continued support, for listening to the show. And also thank you for all that you do for WordPress.tv and making it an awesome resource for the thousands, if not millions, of people out there.
Yes, and thank you for putting me up there. I appreciate it.
That's right. Which, by the way, the presentation on membership sites from WordCamp LAX, it is on WordPress.tv, so go search it and watch it.
Did you watch it?
Immediately after you listen to this show.
Did you watch it?
I'm not in. No comments, sir. I cannot comment on that.
What the hell?
I cannot comment at this time.
Oh, you see the support I get in the community, folks.
Well, you know.
Even my own co-host.
I'd say I was busy, but that'd be even more insulting.
I watch your train videos.
Okay. All right. That's it. Scott's promise. Binky swear. I will watch it, and I will tell you what I think of it on next week's show.
Okay, good.
I promise.
Looking forward to that.
All right. So we have some news to get to today, and who knows where we'll go from there. But the deadline to apply for the Kim Parcell Travel Scholarship, which was something that was established by the WordPress Foundation within months after Kim's passing, which was early in 2015. So coming up in her passing was about in December, but it kind of became public information in January. So it's going to be 2 years this year. So it's you know, time kind of flies by there. So the WordPress Foundation, with the help of Jen Milo at the time and Matt Mulawag, created this travel scholarship in her name, not only to remember her, but to give a woman or an opportunity to attend what is considered the, well, not considered, but it is the largest WordCamp in the U.S., which at the time was WordCamp San Francisco. Now it's WordCamp U.S. Mm-hmm. So if you are... Now, not anybody could just register for the scholarship. You have to be a woman, and this includes trans women. You have to be an active contributor to the WordPress project, either through one of the contributor teams or as a local meetup or WordCamp organizer. must be someone with financial need and someone who has never attended WordCamp US. So if you meet those requirements, please, by all means, submit your application. They're being accepted until October 16th at 12 a.m. Pacific time. So it's October 12th today. You have about 4 days to get that application in. Now, Anissa Ferreira, who won the scholarship last year, unfortunately was unable to attend the event due to her travel visa being denied. So that was disappointing. Hmm. But hopefully that doesn't happen this year. And WordCamp US, of course, is scheduled to take place on December 2nd through the 4th in Philadelphia, PA, the exact same pretty much time and place as last year. And I will be there. And the winner will be announced on November 1st. So we'll know ahead of time who that person is. And I'm going to make it a priority to meet this person, whoever wins it, at WordCamp US this year.
Yeah, I want somebody to win this, obviously. I mean,
Somebody's going to.
Yeah, and I want to know, you know, who it is, and they're not. I don't really want to know their circumstance, but I mean, obviously, if they're a scholarship recipient, then they're in a circumstance where they need it. But I would just want to know who this is and how we can better help that person even further, even beyond the scholarship.
Well, I will say that when Anissa won last year, WordCamp Central or the WordCamp US website announced her name and pretty much gave some background info as to who she is and what she does in the WordPress community. And based on that post, you know, she was the perfect recipient or the perfect person to win this scholarship. So it's really unfortunate she was unable to attend the event. Hopefully they don't run into that situation again this year with whoever wins it.
Hey, let's throw this in. If you win, you get to be on the show with Jeff and I too. And we're going to ask you about how you liked it after the event.
Well, I mean, we could do that. I could probably reach out to them after I meet them and talk to them at the actual event. So I could probably get that set up.
Great. I'd love to know what that first timer's impression is, and especially somebody that's a scholarship recipient.
Mm-hmm. So WordPress.com adds customization features for AMP pages, and they've actually pushed out an update, a major update to their plugin. So this AMP plugin, which Marcus, you actually gave a detailed explanation of what AMP is. I can't remember which episode it was, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But essentially what it does is it removes all the unnecessary cruft from a web page, so it speeds it up. And it's something I think it's Google's behind it, Automatic's behind it, some of the other major companies are behind it. But this plugin has been updated, so now it includes support for tweaking the AMP template, so you can kind of configure how it's going to look on mobile devices. You can alter the look and feel of it through the customizer, so that's pretty neat. According to this post that Sarah Gooding wrote up, that the plugin has more than 90,000 active installs, and quite a few people were giving it negative reviews because it lacked customizability, bugs, and there was no support for pages. Now, the changelog shows that there's been a number of changes in this version, so AMP should be a lot better than what it was. It still doesn't have support for pages, but the changelog in Automatic says they are working on that. So good news for anyone out there using the official AMP plugin for WordPress. And something to know is that AMP is turned on automatically for all sites across the WordPress.com network. So there's already millions of sites already using AMP. But the tavern uses AMP, and sometimes I'm checking out the AMP view, and I gotta say, man, once you remove all the JavaScript and anything else you don't need, it's fast. It does what it's supposed to do.
It is. There is one issue though, which is page builders. If you use a page builder in conjunction with AMP, it may not display the way you think it's going to display.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It kind of gets in the way because some page builders end up almost putting things in tables and little sections, and it could get
all that stuff
up.
Dealing with short codes and all that.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I don't. Exactly. It's a good point to consider. So if you're using a page builder out there, whether it's Beaver Builder, Headway, you know, the list goes on. Elementor, I know that's a relatively new one. You should probably definitely preview and check and double check your AMP pages, how they look on the layout, because they may not display properly.
Yeah, I was going through that post that we talked about that Pippin Williamson did, where he compares all the page builders.
Oh man, what a hell of a post!
it's like when I was a kid and the Sears catalog would arrive, and I'd like look at all the things that I want to play with at Christmas, and I just like I don't have time to mess with all these page builders. I don't know how he got the time to play around with them, but I'm a big fan of page builders. Have been since I tried out the builder plugin from iThemes that we had Corey Miller on a while back to talk about. But that's one of the first ones that I ever saw. And now I'm dealing with things like Cornerstone and, you know, Visual Composer and all the add-ons and hooks that it does. And then now you've got all these other ones and it's crazy. So choose your page builder carefully because you don't want to lock yourself into stuff, but remember that it does conflict with things just like AMP.
Mm-hmm. So we have some updates on the WordPress REST API. We haven't really talked about this in a while.
Line cars.
Yes, there you go. I was waiting for it. So the WordPress API team has written and published a proposal to merge content endpoints into WordPress 4.7.
What does that mean?
Now, for the uninitiated, this discussion and this proposal is highly technical in nature. I mean, I read it. And I had to take two aspirin when I was done. but over the weekend, the proposal was published, and it's the second part in a two-part proposal. The first merged the infrastructure of the API in the core. This is, I believe, WordPress 4.4 back in October of 2015. So this is the other side of the equation with the endpoints. That's where you really get to interact with the different parts of WordPress. And these endpoints that are proposed to be merged include posts, comments, terms, users, meta, and settings management. So those are the different points in WordPress you'd be able to read and write and have access to and things like that with the REST API. So there's some other issues that were brought up here, and this revolves around the authentication procedure. So they're focusing on OAuth 1, which is an authentication protocol. And there are some highly technical things that are surrounding the authentication process. So instead of merging, what the team has ended up doing after receiving some feedback from Matt Mulloway and some others, they're actually going to split up the proposal into two different ones now. So there's going to be one just for the authentication part and one for the endpoints. And it looks like the endpoints have a lot of support, and it looks likely that they may be merged into WordPress 4.7, if maybe 4.8, but it looks pretty good for 4.7. But as far as the authentication goes, there's still a lot of discussion and technicalities involved with that that have to be ironed out, and it doesn't look like that's going to be part of 4.8 or maybe even 4.9. I know, Marcus, when we talked about the REST API, the last time we had Matt Muller on the show, we kind of emphasize this point of the flying cars and what's taking so long and what's going on with the REST API. And he reiterated or emphasized how important it is to get the authentication and security part right, because this is something that's going to impact millions of sites. And the central brokerage server is going to be hosted on WordPress.org. So you have to get this right in order to not break and put all these different sites at risk.
Yeah, it's vitally important. Otherwise, you've just created a new on-ramp right into your admin. So
yeah, we don't need any more of those.
Yeah, we got enough problems with that. Yeah, so take your time, guys. I mean, I barely have the brain power to even process what the hell they're even talking about in terms of this thing, let alone getting it to actually work right. Now, I will say it's pretty cool. The one thing that I did with REST API was I had it trigger this other account that I had that did what the hell did it do? It did like meetings. And so I could set up a custom post type and actually publish something on the WordPress end. And then the API talked to the other thing over at the other end and actually physically made the meeting, which was weird. So there's a lot of cool stuff coming. It's just a matter of
making sure that all the security is in place, like you said, and that it's understandable enough to where everybody just doesn't break their sights like day one.
And there's also some discussion going on about sort of taking a step back and thinking about, is the REST API something that we really should we really have it in core? Should it be a core thing, or should we maintain it as a plugin? That way, work and iteration could continue on it without having it be tied to any specific release or WordPress core itself. And there's some benefits and pros and cons to that way of developing the API as well. There's a great post by Triple J that was written today, John James Jacoby, friend of the show, about...
Is he officially?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we made him a friend of the show.
I don't know about that.
And if we didn't, he should be.
If Buddy Press worked a little bit better,
No, we're not going down that road. No way.
I'm teasing. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that in terms of just keeping it a plugin, because when you said that, what triggered in my mind was WooCommerce and how automatic handle, you know, WordPress, whatever, handles WooCommerce. But then you get all the add-ons, and think of all the add-ons that you could do with the REST API in relation to paid add-ons. Now, what am I talking about? Well, what if you could get an add-on that would import native ads from Amazon and put them all over your site with the REST API and make it so that they're self-updated and they're keyword contextual based on the content that you have on the page? Some of that technology already exists within Amazon, but not directly, not to where you're creating new pages like that. So I'm down. I just
there's some developers that would love to be able to maybe to keep it as a plugin, but now don't quote me on this, anyone out there, but from the discussions I have read, the issue here is that WordPress doesn't have a built-in, or if it does, it doesn't work very well, a dependency manager. So it's not like you could just say, okay, use the REST API here and you could pull it right in and everything is easy. No, you have to somehow install the plugin and create this dependency. There's a lot of technicalities involved.
It's hard. Yeah. So, it's really hard.
The whole dependency thing.
Even that thing that I talked about where I just had it make me a meeting, that took 4 hours.
So, you know, there's a lot going on there with the REST API, but if they do decide to merge it in, looks like we'll have content endpoints, and we'll go from there. We'll keep you posted on that.
Great.
So the Polyglots team, which is the team that handles internationalization and translations, they are in the planning stages to host the second Global WordPress Translation Day on November 12th. So you and I, Marcus, we talked about the first event and how successful it was. In fact, the first one drew in 448 participants from more than 105 countries. So that right there is just a cool stat. Shows you what being able to do something like this virtually, remotely from across the world, what you're able to accomplish. So that's really cool. And there were contributors who worked on more than 160 different languages. So Global WordPress Translation Day Part 2 is set for November 12th. And we'll begin at 000 UTC, and the first live opening session will take place in Tokyo, Japan, where we have millions of fans.
Not as many as Matt Medeiros, apparently, but...
That's right.
It'll do. Well, this is very important. And so for those that don't quite understand or maybe missed it the first time that we talked about WordPress Global Translation Day, it's where you go in... And if you speak two languages or more, you can contribute and say what the translation of common WordPress phrases and terminology is. And what this does is this will unlock WordPress for native tongue people that don't speak English and can't understand English. So this is really important if you know a secondary language that is not English, but you still know how to translate back and forth. This is vital for you to contribute to, because you're literally opening up WordPress to the other people that speak the same language that you do.
Yeah, and I don't know, Marcus, if you read this essay, but I recently read one an essay on HeroPress.com of a gentleman who spent a lot of time translating WordPress into his native language so that his 8-year-old daughter could blog about her life and other things and her interests and her hobbies in her own native language. And I thought that was just a really cool and inspirational way of contributing back to WordPress by making it so that your kid could use the native language to speak her mind to the world.
WordPress. It's very powerful. Very powerful. So that's why I'm a big proponent of it. Unfortunately, I only speak one language. So
yeah, I have a hard time speaking English.
But that's my one regret in life, that I didn't take a second language. I can still do it. But, you know.
So organizers have confirmed that there's going to be at least 20 live meetups that will intermittently stream into one location. So that'll be really cool. And you can hang out in the Polyglot Slack channel while this is going on, and there'll be people in there directing others, and you can watch different events and different links, and it'll all be coordinated through there. But if I know we have listeners from all across the world, and if you're interested in participating in this or even having a meetup where you can get people involved and introduce people to translating WordPress, you could sign up for the event at wptranslationday.org. Notify the organizers that you're going to have an event. It'll be listed, and at some point during the day, you'll be tied into all the other people, and it'll be just all these buzzing bees will be busy translating WordPress on this day throughout 24-hour period. It'll be really cool.
Yeah, it's a great cause. It only takes one day. So if you've got the skills, this is a great way for you to contribute. You don't have to be a coder. You don't have to do any of that stuff.
You just got to know a language and translate.
That's it. This is a great way to contribute.
Speaking of HeroPress, we got a couple things about this awesome site. And the first is XWP, which is a WordPress development firm based in Australia, I believe, but they specialize in WordPress development. They've become the first official sort of financial sponsor for HeroPress. So HeroPress was founded by Topher DeRosa. We've had him on the show a few times back in 2015. And it's really cool. So now he's got this financial support. And there have been other companies and businesses that have done some donation type things, where Pantheon is hosting the site for free, and then Ninja Forms, Theme Foundry, Postmatic, WordPress, they've all donated licenses for their commercial products. And so I talked to DeRosa earlier this week, and I said, hey, man, what does this do? How does this financial support help you? And he says that the support covers about a quarter of the time he spends on the site, but it covers 100% of the time that Stacy Bartron, who is a volunteer, she makes the banners every week for the site. He's able to pay her for her time and effort, and he's got a little bit left over for doing some experimentation on the site. So I know DeRosa was very happy. He was grateful to be able to pay Bartron for her efforts. And he says, quote, "It's one thing to work for free on my own, but I have a really hard time asking someone else to volunteer their time for my project." And then he says, "Yet she did it willingly, so I'm super happy to be able to pay her now," end quote. And, you know, it's kind of funny in a way because, Marcus, you're kind of in a similar situation with your role here on WordPress Weekly. And I talked to Topher about this, and I go, you know, I offered Marcus a number of times to pay him. And I feel bad sometimes that he's on this show and, you know, I'm not able to pay him financially, but he's a great contributor. He's definitely, you know, we're a great team on the show, but he always refuses. He says, "Nope, I love coming on your show. I love doing what we do here every Wednesday, and I don't want your money." Is that true? You don't want my money?
I don't remember you ever offering anything.
Oh man. Come on. Really?
Well, you did buy burritos when you were out here, but so I'll take that.
Well, you know, hey.
Hey, look, I do it to keep sharp. I do it so that I get a reason to dig deep into the community and dig deep into WordPress. And I get a huge kick out of people in the community that I interact with. It's funny. I'm going to just kind of break the fourth wall here, but I got a couple people that were listeners or that are listeners of this show that I met at like WordCamp Los Angeles or they would message me about a question about something, and I would just give them my phone number. Here, just give me a call. Let's talk about this. And they freak out. But see, what they don't understand is I'm doing exactly what other people do, is contribute. But I don't really code too well. I don't do any of those other things that a lot of people are deeply intently involved in within WordPress that helps my life through, you know, making a living. And so there's no egos about this. To me, this is just a natural conversation between you and I about what's going on in the community and what we've found, and then digging into the heads of guests. So you and I are the same, man. We're just contributors. So but I will take payment.
So I asked Tina Hagen, managing director at XWP, why the company has decided to financially support the project. And he said, quote, "Storytelling is a powerful way to connect and inspire people. HeroPress is a platform that gives people in the WordPress community and beyond an opportunity to share their personal stories, make meaningful connections with others, and inspire them in ways that can have lasting, positive impact on their lives. That is a compelling purpose and mission strongly aligned with our own. We hope our contribution will inspire others to also give as a way to encourage its growth so that it can touch and impact even more lives," end quote. So just a really cool gesture on their part. And if anyone out there is listening who would like to sponsor or financially support the HeroPress project, you can contact Erosia by emailing him at Topher, T-O-P-H-E-R, at HeroPress.com. And it'd be nice if he can get some more support, because the additional funds will allow him to travel to more WordCamps, spread the good word of HeroPress, and give more people out there an opportunity to meet the guy. Because him and his family, I've said, is a blast. I love his wife. And it's awesome when he brings his whole family to a WordCamp. They really embrace the community, and they're just really good people.
Yeah, we should send him to India again.
Should we? Well, yeah. Or WordCamp US. We'll get him there somehow, some way.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Where is he at now?
He, as far as where he works or where he lives?
Where he lives.
He's up there in Michigan.
Oh. Well,
near Grand Rapids.
That's not far at all. You can drive there.
Yeah, possible. So speaking of HeroPress and Topher, he published a great article that resonated with me on a lot of levels. And it's called The Other Side of WordPress. And basically, it's him publishing a reminder to everyone who may be reading the HeroPress website and notice that all the stories pretty much, there's people who share their struggles and the downs they go through in life, but also the ups. And generally, almost all of the stories, I think all of them pretty much, end on they have a happy ending. And this post was sort of a reminder that for a lot of people, the stories don't always end on a happy note, and that people deal with hard things sometimes, and it doesn't always end with everything being better, awesome, and happy. That it's not this whole WordPress thing is not all unicorns and rainbows and things like that. And there's so much stuff I could quote from his article because it resonates with me so much. But I love the fact that he says WordPress is software, it's code. It doesn't do anything more than a rock does sitting on the ground, which is true. You know, he says that it's the people on the site that have the success stories. They're the people in the community. It's not the software necessarily. And that the stories on HeroPress are about hard work, late nights, reaching out, asking for help, and giving help. And they're about the pain, struggle, growth, patience, and love, and pretty much all the things summed up in life. And he says that if you want to have a WordPress success story and unleash the hero that is in you and every one of us, then you must do so much more than download a piece of software. And that's something he said. And Marcus, I don't know if you had a chance to read the article, but he also has great advice in there on how to deal with the ugly side of WordPress. And trust me, it's there. I actually, very few and far between, but I believe I've participated in being sometimes on that ugly side of WordPress. But I've been trying really hard, especially as of late, to not go anywhere near that. But he has some great advice on how to deal with that part of the community. And if you're around it for very long, I mean, come on, it's made up of people, and You know, when you have a melting pot of opinions and perspectives and different backgrounds and where you're at, locations, things of that nature, not everything is going to be happy-go-lucky and smooth all the time. So you got to learn to deal with the bumpy road aspect of WordPress. But it was just, I highly encourage everyone to read the post. All of our listeners out there, you should read it at least once. It'll be linked up in the show notes. But it's one of the best things I've read in a long time.
Yeah. Isn't it funny that, not funny, but isn't it interesting that this year, it seems like some of the people that we've known for years have just come unglued when it comes to the WordPress community, and including one that just popped today, which was James Dolan.
Yep. Yep. So we're talking about Jeff Madsen wrote a post about the WordPress community. Mika Epstein wrote a post about what they don't tell you. And that's an eye opener. I mean, remember when we had her on the show and she talked about the reality of what she deals with on an everyday basis?
God, I threw myself out the window.
And then there is, I probably have written a thing or two, some other folks as well. And James Dahlman's post today, which for listeners who don't know, he is the founder of happyjoe.org, a site he's dedicated to helping military veterans out there. And he's changed his mission a couple of times, but throughout the last year or so, he's experienced some failures with the project and some of the other things he's doing. And when I read his post today, he says that he, he looked at a pistol that was nearby and thought some things. Like, he was at a level where he was thinking things he never thought he'd be capable of thinking of. Let's put it that way. He actually reached out to, guess who? I'll give you one guess, Marcus, to who we spoke to that helped him out.
That's our doctor.
Dr. Corey Miller. But he spoke to Corey Miller, and Corey helped him, raised him back up from rock bottom that Corey talks about, got him back on his feet, and James is sort of reevaluating where he's at right now in life. And right now, WordPress is not the thing that he's sort of taking a different path now that doesn't involve WordPress. So today he published a post saying goodbye WordPress and
hello Joomla. No,
hello Drupal. <Yeah. laughs> Hello, custom CMS.
That would make me grab the pistol. Anyway,
but I had the opportunity to meet James when I went to Oklahoma City. He seems like he's a great guy, somebody you'd really want to have your back if the crap went down or shit hit the ceiling fan or whatever. He's a pretty cool dude. But it took a lot of courage for him to write and publish that post today. And he mentions that, you know, he's afraid of possible repercussions from people in the community, which is – just in and of itself, bullcrap that people have to fear, fear coming out and being truthful about how they're feeling and dealing with things because of repercussions. But a lot of people voiced their support for him today in the WordPress community and wished him the best of luck and on his way and whatever future endeavors he encounters. And I sort of express that gratitude to you, James, if you're listening, and best of luck to you. And I'm glad you found a way to get out of your doldrums and were able to get back on your feet and kind of be a little bit more positive and on a better direction.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's very similar to me in a lot of respects and what he's doing and the fact that he's, you know, kind of an entrepreneur and does a lot of projects. And not only that, but there was this thing going around, I think it was Twitter or Facebook, I can't remember, where you listed all how many jobs you've had.
Yeah, like your first 7 jobs.
Yeah. So he took it to like 35 or something, or 42 or something. And then I started putting all mine down and tried to count them. And I came up with almost the exact same count, almost. And what was interesting is his jobs were pretty close to what I did growing up. So we almost had the exact same path in life of what it is that we did for a living. Almost. But
so you two want to go move to Vegas.
Well, we'll see about that, but not together. Of course, he's married. I'm married. It's not like that. if it comes to that, I mean, that's just for aesthetic reasons. That's for me, the Vegas thing comes up because I can go to a house renting website and punch in what I pay for rent, and I can get a 4-bedroom house with a pool in Vegas. So kind of has its upside. But anyway, back to the topic, the WordPress community is a double-edged sword, and you just got to always remember which side is the sharp side and try not to fall on that side. And I have gone through my own kind of things within the WordPress community as of late, and I just kind of learned to mute it, literally. Like, the sources that I don't like on Twitter, mute them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to follow them. I don't want to look at them. And maybe that's what you have to do, is compartmentalize your situation and your problems with the community. It's tough when you're a developer, because you gotta live with the community no matter what you're doing. But you know, most people, most listeners, I'd say 99.9% of our listeners aren't in that like inner circle of community where they're constantly, you know, talking to each other and that. So you know, if you're struggling out there, if you're going through a lot of stuff right now, you know, we're a community, but we're not a support group necessarily, right? We're a bunch of geeks that use software. And the important thing is to just know that this is just something to earn a living at, and, you know, try and do your best. And it's going to get harder and harder to do so, because you've got Wix and Squarespace that are making things simpler and simpler and simpler for people to do. And that makes being a developer that much tougher, whether that be a plugin and theme developer or a developer of sites themselves. There's a lot of competition out there, so that puts a squeeze on people and then ultimately hurts people's lives. So just be careful.
So I mentioned this, wrote about this Topher's post on the Tavern, and today I received this awesome comment. It sort of reminds me of a mini HeroPress story, and I wanted to share it with our listeners here. But it's by Bren Murphy. And he says, quote, "Hi, Jeff. I started using WordPress as an alcoholic, teetering on the verge of complete mental breakdown. I would type into my blog the most shameful and embarrassing episodes of my late stage drinking, thinking no one would ever read it. It's kind of a therapy for myself. Boy, was I wrong. Over time, I grew an audience of lifelong friends and confidants who helped shape my new life as a half marathon runner running Yoga Nerd.
Wow.
WordPress certainly played a part in that, being accessible, user-friendly, and just a breeze for me and countless others in the sober recovery community. Thanks, from Bren." And, you know, first of all, Bren, fan-freaking-tastic that WordPress and that being able to be honest and publish that stuff out there has been able to help you change and turn your life around to something. I mean, hell, a half marathon running Yoga Nerd, that's like a superhero.
No kidding.
Something to that effect. But it's great to hear that publishing software like WordPress was a tool that enabled you to sort of help you change your life around. And that's what it's all about. I mean, and then I reminded him that, you know, it's that WordPress enabled him to publish those words, but it's he who had the courage to do so. It's he who had the courage to write them and hit that publish button. And WordPress was the tool that allowed him to do that. But it really goes back to him and having the courage as a person to go through with that.
Yeah, so that's tough.
I thanked him for the comment, and I said, hey, man, continue being an inspiration for others out there. So thanks for sharing your story, Bren, and keep up on that path, man, because you're on that's a good path to be on.
Absolutely. And it's good that you still stick with WordPress in terms of you know, usage, and sounds like the community as well. So good job.
So our last bit of news I wanted to get to today is that the days of creating child themes for simple CSS changes may soon be over. So the general advice that we give to users nowadays is, hey, if you want to make some changes to your theme, well, create a child theme. That way, when you upgrade the parent theme, you won't lose your changes. But this usually involves creating a directory, a CSS file, functions.php file. You put them together in a zip file, and then you can either upload it to your site via FTP or through the WordPress backend as a new theme. But there's things involved where you got to edit the CSS file that caused the parent theme, make sure there's proper inheritance. There's a process here that could be complicated and is complicated for a lot of people out there. So there's been this proposal that's been published on the Make That Core WordPress blog where for WordPress 4.7, for a CSS editor to be added to the customizer. So what this does is it offers a number of benefits. So users can use the customizer to live preview changes before they're applied. You'll be able to use the different mobile responsive tools to be able to see how those changes will appear on mobile devices. And instead of editing the CSS files directly, the changes are actually stored in a custom post type for each theme, and they override the theme styles, which is great because we've always told users, don't edit core files, and this maintains that philosophy. It doesn't edit the actual core files of the theme. And this is just the first sort of stage of the feature. And depending on other changes and enhancements that are going on with the customizer, it's possible that in the future we could have revisions, style selectors, helpers, a syntax highlighter, and some other neat stuff here that right now the theme file editor just is not capable of doing. And plus with the theme file editor, you can edit certain files that could cause you a white screen of death. So it's a bit dangerous.
Very.
Right now. So there's an animated GIF. If you want to see it in action, visit WPTavern.com or just click the link in the show notes. But it's this GIF. And so if you look on the left-hand side in the customizer, there's a control area. It says additional CSS. So you click that, and you see sort of like you see line numbers, which should help with troubleshooting. And mm-hmm. you can see them typing in the different CSS, and you can see the live preview on the right-hand side. And also, when you're in the live preview mode, you could browse different parts of the site and preview it that way. And this is before you even save the changes. So there's some things going on here now. In the WordPress developer chat today, there was some discussion on how the data is being stored, the CSS information, whether the custom post type is the right way to do it or if it should be stored in a different way. There's a lot of things to talk about there. So members of the core and customizer component teams are going to discuss that issue in detail in a special meeting before making a final decision on whether to merge it with WordPress 4.7 or not. Personally, I want to see this merged into WordPress. I think that removing the need to create a child theme for smaller, simple changes based on CSS, I think that's a huge win for a lot of users. And I think it's a major win for those who provide support, where instead of giving a customer complicated directions or, you know, having to get login credentials and you have to make the changes yourself, it could be as simple as telling them to open a customizer, click on additional CSS, paste this snippet in, and click the save button, and you're done. And that seems like a hell of a lot better process than what we have here now. And it'd be very interesting to see how it evolves in the future if it is added, because it could lay the groundwork or the foundation to eventually remove the theme file editor from WordPress. So we'll have to see how that goes. There's already a handful of comments from people on this post. And, you know, what can you say?
Well, I'll tell you what I can say, which is if they did what I suggested, how long has it been? But in the customizer, let us export and import a customer save a customizer save file for the settings. Like, I want to be able to set something in the customizer and then just be able to save that and save it, not only, you know, to publish it to the site and you know, to my theme settings, but let me export that and just download it as a text file or a string or whatever.
Oh yeah, I remember that. You know, after the show on our comments, which I on the YouTube video itself, Otto was listening in and commented and said something to the effect of, you know, I don't want to say what he said, but it was, he disagreed with you on the export import of the settings. So, you know, we got to get Otto on the show because he's a smart dude, and we better ask Otto, him a bunch of stuff.
Otto, if you're listening to this, you're living in a bubble. Okay? I'm a user.
You said it, not me.
I'm a user. I coach people on using this thing. Believe me, people will use this feature a lot, and the customizer will get used a lot more if I know that I can set something up and have it work to where I'm not doing entire themes just because I want to change fonts and stuff like that. It's just ridiculous. So think about that. You're cutting your own nose off to spite you if you're disagreeing with me on that.
So there you have it. I don't know. I like this feature. I think it's beneficial, but it's not up to me on whether it will be approved for core. But if it does, we're going to let you know. We're going to get Marcus to test it. I'm going to test it too, and then we'll give you pretty much our hands-on impressions of what it's like. So we'll see what happens there. But that's one of the few exciting changes I've seen lately that have really piqued my interest. So without further ado, Marcus, unless you have any other items you've seen come across the news wire, we'll go right into your plug-in picks of the week.
All right, dude, let's dig right in. And the first one is called Post Work Time Logger. This is something that you might use, actually. It's a tool that is just a small little window that resides in your post and page editor. And it allows you to track your time that you put in to making each post. So it's just a running timer, and it keeps going until you hit that publish button. Now, you may ask me, how does it work if I just start a post and then I come back later? Well, it stops the timer, and then when you come back, it starts up the timer again for your next session of editing that post. So that gives you a really good indication as to how much work is being done on each post, and you'd be surprised.
Or how distracted I get when I open up a new tab and leave the other tab open with the post in it.
Yeah.
And I never come back to it.
And I don't know what kind of detection that it has. Like if it has a pixel that's
If I switch a tab, like does the timer stop because I'm not actually working on the post at that point?
I did not test that part of it, but I'm going to. I'm going to do that right after the show. So that's called Post Work Time Logger. You can find a link to that in the show notes as well as all the rest of these plugins. The next one, Jeff, is a very popular thing. It's called WP Facebook Live Video. And this is a brand new plugin. And with a short code, a single short code that you hook in to Facebook, you can make your live video appear on the sidebar in a particular page. Maybe you're going to do something like, you know, marcuscouch.com/live, and that's where my Facebook Live is going to go. But the benefit of this is that as soon as I go live, it starts up. So if we had this in the sidebar, it wouldn't show anything if I wasn't displaying a live video at the time. But if I am doing a Facebook Live video, it then appears. If somebody's on the site, they can see it. Really neat thing to do. And also, it prevents people from having to be your friend in Facebook or in a group. So you can just tweet a link and somebody can watch your Facebook live video. So it's pretty neat. It's called WP Facebook Live Video. And I had a question from a listener about a week and a half ago that they were asking me about some plugins that could help to put the star rating in Google search engine results. Jeff, I'm sure you've seen those things, but it's basically like if you search something like a product in particular, it will come back and give you different star ratings. Well, this plugin, it's called Reviews Plus, and it allows you to manage and display customer reviews for products, services, any kind of content you want. It actually replaces the comments section for the selected post type, and it puts reviews with stars in its place, and it makes it fully compatible so that Google will show those stars in the search engine results. Really nice thing if you're into e-commerce and you want to start putting reviews in place and have that nice little star system show up. It's called Reviews Plus, and those are my plug-in picks of the week.
There you go. That's my rim shot for you. So speaking of upcoming events, right now my calendar is free of events until WordCamp US in December. But I'm on the fence right now as to whether I want to attend WordCamp Seattle. I know tickets have gone on sale. So if you're interested, if anybody is up there in the Seattle area, better get your ticket fast because WordCamp Seattle is one of the more popular ones. There's going to be a lot of people up there. It's going to be a great time. I've always wanted to kind of go up to Seattle. So it's going to be around Halloween, I believe. So I'm still on the fence about whether I'm going to pull the trigger on that or not. So we'll see. If I do, I'll let you know. Right now, I'm still thinking about it. But Marcus, you're going to be speaking at the Affiliate Summit. And where else? Vegas.
That's right. It's a party. And starting to see, it's funny. I just got this. They have a magazine, Affiliate Summit does, called Feed Front, and it comes out every quarter. And I just got the parties at these things is unbelievable. I mean, if they compared the after party at a WordCamp to some of these affiliate parties, like the magazine has a picture of the last party, and it's Snoop Dogg actually doing the DJ set with a blunt in his mouth. That's on the front of the magazine.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What's this conference about again?
It's about making money. And I was at the one a couple years ago where Flava Flav was the DJ, which was pretty neat. So, yeah, that's a great conference. I'm going to be talking about membership sites and how if you're an affiliate, you can use it. If you're a merchant, you can use membership sites. And just kind of trying to test the waters in some new markets that aren't WordCamp. So we'll see how it goes.
So one of the things I want to talk to you about after that event, maybe you'll remind me or maybe you'll bring it up, is I know you spoke at WordCamp LAX and had an opportunity to get out there and get a little bit of notoriety. But, you know, sometimes on the side, who knows, you may get a couple of new clients or – you know, brand awareness, so to speak, from speaking. And it'll be interesting to see, compare the after effects of speaking at WordCamp LAX with speaking at Affiliate Summit in terms of clients or leads or business after the fact. That's something I'm keen to know about after you speak there.
Okay, well then I don't even have to wait. I can tell you right now.
Wow.
No, I will.
We're at the end of the show.
It's okay. People want to know. They want to know this stuff. They've never poked outside the community. They want to know.
All right. So,
and I would believe me, I was in that community before I was big into the WordPress community in terms of being a podcaster. So they have, instead of what we do with like sponsors and where they have booths and stuff set up at WordCamps. And admittedly, they're mostly swag and giveaway stuff, right? Well, at Affiliate Summit, they have one day in particular that they call the meat market, M-E-E-T, the meat market. And that is nothing but tables full of merchants and things that want affiliates to sell for them. And the things that they're giving away ain't t-shirts. It's, you know, it's a lot more. And you know, like I've mentioned before, like Hulk Hogan was on the expo floor. I mean, what would happen if Hulk Hogan showed up at WordCamp? People would freak out. And these affiliate people were freaking out. And that's the difference. So it's those things are built to network and get leads and do business. Whereas WordCamp is just kind of a learning environment. And the business end is just kind of, I don't even think it's back room. I think it's just
Probably more give than take.
Right. So having been to Affiliate Summit and participated in different types of things that weren't necessarily speaking, I can tell you right now that just it's tons different, and WordCamp just isn't, it's not built for that. It's built for a whole different purpose altogether. But I enjoy it, and I, you know,
right, and I'm not saying you spoke at WordCamp LAX for business opportunities for leads. I just thought it's kind of cool to know that it's kind of interesting that you go to a conference that is outside the WordPress bubble versus inside, and it's just kind of neat to compare the two in terms of how they're built and how things happen after the fact in terms of business.
Yeah, and it was also the great place to start a brand new presentation and a brand new talk at was WordCamp, so that I can now know what worked and didn't work in reference to the slides and the deck that I used. So I can continually hone that down or expand it as I need to further enunciate points. And that's all this is. It's just self-improvement, right? Opportunities for improvement each time. I plan on even speaking at e-learning events. That's a monstrous industry, so much bigger than I thought, with the advent of homeschooling and all of that. So who knows? And if anybody thinks that there's a conference that I should be talking at, then let us know. Either put it in the show notes or you can just reach out to me on Twitter. I'd love that.
So that's Affiliate Summit West, Las Vegas, January 15th through the 17th. And he'll be speaking at membership sites on Sunday, January 15th.
Yes.
Speaking of Twitter, that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-A-F-F-R-0, and Marcus.
And you never mentioned at WP Tavern. Which I think is a very valid thing to subscribe to and, you know, be buddies with. But you can find me.
Go ahead.
Okay, good. Thank you. You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, at membershipcoach.com, and find me on Twitter, especially Friday when I'm trashing Jeff about the Cavs-Bulls matchup. Find me at Marcus Couch.
Yeah, Cubs stink. No, I'm just kidding. That was a hell of a win by the Cubs the other day against the Giants. But the Indians swept the Red Sox. I'm pretty happy about that. But I was going to say, you mentioned subscriptions. Sarah Gooding, my partner in crime, my coworker on the Tavern, recently published that we passed 8,000 email subscribers, which about 2 or 3 years ago was 300.
Yeah, it was.
So we've really grown in a lot of time, and people like to get WP Tavern in their inbox. So that's really cool news. So subscribe to that. Subscribe to me. Subscribe to Marcus. Subscribe to everything. Just kidding.
Especially this podcast.
Yes.
And leave us a review.
Yes, leave us a review on iTunes. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again, possibly with a guest. We'll see. I thought we do have one. Next Wednesday evening. Until then, bye-bye.